Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us here on this Wednesday as we get ready for another Kevin Herr rant. I'm sure this one will be about tire changes in open wheel racing, but that will be for later in the show. We like to kind of dangle that carrot out there for you and keep you listening the entire time to find out which direction we're going in. But today we're going to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. We have the legendary, longtime radio voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, one of the true greats, Merrill Reese, joining us on the show today. Merrill and I go back, between the two of us, back into the 80s when he was doing St. Joe's basketball in the Atlantic 10 and I was doing Penn State basketball in the Atlantic 10. So it'll be great to talk with him and talk about the Eagles and the incredible moves that they've made, starting with head coach Chip Kelly. So Merrill Reese on the show later today. And, of course, we have a lot more going on. Neil Riddell, Altoona Mirror, we're going to have him on the show as the week goes along. Tomorrow, Penn State basketball playing at Illinois with an 8:15 start, 7:30 airtime. Now, we have the show emanating from the Sunbury Motors Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Studio. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf for Sunbury Motors Kia. And, of course, the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. Located on Routes 11 and 15, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. First, let's get to Above the Noise. Here's Dan Patrick.
A little mayo, some pepper, some celery in it. My tuna fish ends up tasting just fine.
How did I know that's what you were going to say?
I don't quite understand what the issue is on the show.
It's great to have you with us. Merrill Reese joins us today. Tomorrow I have Tony Knopp on the show. Tony from the CEO of SportsTickets.com. And we'll be talking to him about several topics tomorrow, one being the Super Bowl next year, and another one, the business influence of Dr. Jerry Buss. Because remember where Tony is located. We've had Tony on the show many times. Tony's located in Los Angeles. So if anybody has a feel for the business acumen of the late Dr. Jerry Buss, Tony would, in terms of ticket distribution and how he turned a Dodger town into a Laker town. And also tomorrow, Aaron Carter, the beat writer for the Center Daily Times on college basketball. That is all on tomorrow's show. Merrill is today. It's great to have you with us. Off to Illinois. It's going to be snowing, I guess, during the game tomorrow. We're talking about maybe 3-4 inches of snow during the game, then some ice afterwards. So how long I'm out there, I have no idea.
All right, so Friday's show will be on the road as well as...
I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know. We'll find out. You know, we'll find out. They have already postponed the Nebraska game for tomorrow night.
Really?
Been moved to Saturday. They're predicting a blizzard in Nebraska and Kansas tomorrow.
That's what I was just going to ask. How much snow are they actually calling for then?
Yeah, they're calling for a lot.
Is that usually, that almost never happens in college.
No, they've done it ahead. They already pulled. Now, as easy to do, of all the things to do it, ironically, the Big Ten does not have a single game scheduled on Saturday.
What's the Big Ten is only two games.
Big Ten, well, Big Ten's 10 greatest this, 10 greatest that, 10 greatest.
I mean, without basketball, what's the Big Ten network running? There's no wrestling, is there?
I had to laugh because I went down to the floor. I wanted to talk to Tom Hamilton briefly. And walking back, and there was this father and a daughter sitting in the front. They said, "We see you all the time in the Big Ten 10 best thing." I'm like, "Yeah." I said, they just need some filler. So, yeah.
Let's see. I'll look at the schedule, let you know, so we're not missing anything.
I think there's only two. I think there's only two games. They're both Sunday.
Running Big Ten finale an awful lot in the morning.
Well, they've been doing a lot lately on the show. Now, it's going to be a big weekend because, of course, the Daytona 500 is this weekend. It's going to take place Sunday. It's the 55th annual Great American Race. And that will take place Sunday at the Daytona International Raceway. And the buzz, of course, is the fact that Dana Patrick is on the pole, which has created and generated a lot of buzz, and justifiably so. And it's just, I think, the shot in the arm NASCAR needed that she was able to perform at just the right moment. Now, whether she can sustain that for 200 laps instead of one, that's what makes it fun. That's what we're going to find out. Allie joins us. Hi, Allie. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm so excited to hear you interview Merrill Reese today. He's one of my heroes. So I was hoping I could just have you maybe have him talk about the four quarterbacks that we now have on our team.
Yes, that will probably, Allie, be one of the topics, the multiplicity of quarterback options.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm thrilled. I'm so glad you're interviewing him. So I was just hoping that you could maybe have him just try and pinpoint a little bit, you know, what they think they're going to do with Nick Foles and Michael Vick and Dennis Dixon. I know they're probably going to get rid of Trent Edwards. So.
Yeah. Trent's going to be the operator. But Trent Edwards will end up with somebody else because when you're looking at the NFL, you want to have a backup quarterback that has at least experience of the game, overwhelm them when they get in.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I'm excited to hear the interview, so thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Allie. Our number, 1-800-79, our number 1-800-795-9565 on the Hilscher's General Store hotline, powered by Hilscher's General Store. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. And, of course, I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You know, I really like Dennis Dixon, though. I really like him.
I think I would have to be around him every day to really get a feel as to what he can and can't do. That's one of the things about Penn State football. I'm around every single day. So if somebody calls the show and they say, Steve, what can Stephen Bench do and what can't he do? I can talk about that. I'll get that same feel eventually for Tyler Ferguson, because obviously he'll be in camp for the spring. Christian Hackenberg will not be, and it's a relief on my part that I can talk about him finally. Can actually
everybody else has been, but you couldn't.
I was the one person that couldn't. But... You know, but we won't find out about him until he comes in the last week of June. And we'll get a feel for him then. So you can get a feel for a player and a quarterback as to what they can and can't do. I'll give you an example. When Darrell Clark and Pat Devlin were head-to-head that spring, what was the perception as to which guy had the stronger arm? Who was the big-arm quarterback of the two, perception-wise?
Oh, I don't know. I felt Devlin.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not true. If you're there on an everyday basis, the guy that had the stronger arm was actually Darrell Clark.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people had that same feeling, but I sure felt it was Devlin as well.
And again, this is not in any way a put down or an indictment of Pat Devlin. I thought Pat Devlin was a really good game quarterback. He was not a very good practice quarterback. He was a far better game quarterback than practice quarterback. When you watch them play in practice every single day, the and they lose and could hit that out with precision and with some velocity was Clark. And I can say that because, I mean, literally when I'm sitting there and I'm watching a quarterback, oh boy, let's put a number on this. And now let's make it 200. If I'm watching practice conservatively, I'm probably seeing them throw 3,000 passes in a season.
Wow.
Because they're throwing probably about 200 balls a practice.
my apologies. They're throwing 50 balls in a practice. You take four practices in a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you're talking about that's 200 balls in a week. You take 15 weeks, including the preseason, that's 3,000 passes I see them throw. Then you add in what they've done in the spring, and the same thing.
Well, you know, and being watching a lot of Steeler games, you had a chance to see Dennis Dixon a little bit fill in when he was
right.
Third-string quarterback.
Exactly.
The one thing that I noticed, obviously, is mobility. But I understand what you're saying because I wasn't exactly sure just how strong of an arm or how accurate or how good his reads were because they really kept the offense, I don't want to say vanilla because that's not fair either, but they really kept it down. You know, they stepped it down a little bit from what they would normally do if Ben Roethlisberger was in there. So you didn't get a really good look at what he could do. But what you saw were some good quick reads. Now, maybe he didn't even go through progressions either, but definitely his athletic ability showed.
All right. He's an athlete. And I'm not completely sold idea that Chip Kelly's going to have offense in Oregon.
But if he doesn't, will everybody in Philly be upset, though, Steve?
But I think the pace of what he wants, so that's whatever he doesn't do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think
the Eagles will try to snap off plays 15 to 20 seconds at a clip.
I just think with all the hype, they're going to be really, really upset. Eagles fans are going to be really, really upset if they don't get the Oregon-style offense.
Well, what is the Oregon-style offense? I think it's just the speed with which they get the plays off more than anything else. This is predicated on speed. And they have tackling mass speed. Jackson absolutely has speed. LeSean McCoy has speed. You know, Vic certainly does. But you're not going to sit out there. I mean, I can't imagine you running a lot of option with them.
You know, I was talking to a friend the other day. We were talking about this new wave. And of course, you know, Dan Patrick has discussed it many times as well. But we're talking about this new wave of offense coming through with the read option. And the first thing that comes up is name one quarterback that has run the read option in the NFL and has survived. I mean, with a couple,
it's too early to tell. Well, first of all, there haven't been people running the read option in the NFL. They just haven't been.
But how many mobile quarterbacks survived?
But there aren't. But you know what? There aren't many quarterbacks. There have been certain quarterbacks over time that had a certain mobility to them that had success. John Elway was tremendously mobile. Great, I mean, great mobility. Steve Young, great mobility.
That was when I thought of
Joe Theismann. Joe Theismann had really good mobility. To be honest with you, Elway was, Elway's pretty special in terms of how he moved and the way he could throw the ball was unbelievable. He could snap that thing off like that. But most of the quarterbacks, that's why when I hear, the read option's going to be the wave. Okay, how well is Eli Manning going to run the read option? How well is Peyton Manning going to run the read option? How well is Tom Brady going to run the read option? How well will Aaron Rodgers run the read option? How well will Drew Brees run the read option? How well will Ben Roethlisberger run the read option? How well will Matt Ryan run the read option? You have to go, your quarterback is a certain style. That's a style you live with. It turned out, I think, the number of quarterbacks that can run this read option are in a small pool because it's not just running the read option. It is also, you have to be a very accurate thrower of the football. There are plenty of quarterbacks that can run the read option, but they can't throw it well enough. Football league then becomes a difference maker. So San Francisco, Washington, and to some extent Carolina, they're the three franchises where I'm sure they feel fortunate they have that combination.
Your information source 7 days a week. News Radio 1070 WKOK. taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. Steve Jones in the Sunbury Motors Studio joining us momentarily. Kevin Herr with you at the moment as we get things squared away. Merrill Reese from the Philadelphia Eagles joining us here in just a few moments. An interesting situation just recently in Arizona. They actually have some snow in the first round of match play for golf today. We'll talk about that as the PGA Tour continues to fight some strange situations.
Yeah. Hi there. I think we connected back in.
I think we're good now, yes.
Yeah, because I went to speak before and it disconnected. So we are very pleased to have with us one of the true greats in our profession, and that is Merrill Reese. Merrill, welcome. It is a pleasure to speak with you again.
Hi, Steve. It's always nice to speak with you.
We do go back to the old Atlantic 10 days, by the way, when Merrill was, unbeknownst to many, was doing St. Joe's. I was doing Penn State at the time, and those were the old days.
Yeah, they were. They were a little bit different, but, you're still doing Penn State, of course, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Still doing Penn State, yeah.
I mean, I love hearing you on those Penn State football games. I enjoy them every time I hear you.
Well, thanks. And the same thing with the Eagles. That's one thing that's been great about, as you know, about SiriusXM. You can pick up broadcasts all over the place, and I always look forward to listening to how you do a Philadelphia Eagles game. And I listen intently with a good ear because there are certain things you can pick up from a pro's pro such as you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I want to
you're just happy we didn't pick up Bill O'Brien.
You know, let's be honest, Merrill. Yes, I'm absolutely.
You know what? I have to tell you. I have to tell you, Steve. So am I, because even though I am a Temple graduate, I root for Penn State. I love Penn State, and I thought that Bill O'Brien did such a wonderful job up there under difficult circumstances that I was happy to see him remain at Penn State. That's where he belongs, at least for the foreseeable future. And I am so happy to see that football team surprise a lot of people and seem to have a lot of good things in the immediate future.
Yeah, and believe me, I think you're absolutely spot on with that. And Bill fits in with the culture perfectly here, and I think has a chance to thrive here. Chip Kelly makes the move, obviously, from Oregon to the Eagles. It's not unprecedented that Philadelphia's done this. I mean, Joe Q. Herrick didn't work. Dick Vermeil absolutely did work. Now this. What has been your feel for Chip Kelly without actually seeing him coach an NFL game?
Very, very impressive. He's a winner. He's been a winner every place he's ever been. He's bright. I mean, you really sense his brightness and his innovative ability and his spark. You get that right away. I mean, you see and you feel charisma, and I like that. I like smart. He's very smart, and I'm optimistic. I really am. I didn't know. One of the things that he said when he came in was that anybody who expects the Eagles to start working with the Oregon playbook and simply cross out Oregon and put on Philadelphia is going to be preparing for a lot of things they're not going to see, and that this team is going to be constructed and it's going to be put into a position schematically to capitalize on what they have and what we are able to put together. And I like that. I was somewhat skeptical about Chip Kelly, and that name has come up throughout a lot of the season when it became clear that a change was in the offing. And like a lot of people, I looked at the Oregon offense and said, that's not for the NFL. I don't think there's an offensive lineman who can keep going at that pace. And on the NFL level, it is designed to get quarterbacks killed. But That's not what he's going to do. It will have elements of that, and that's what I think we're going to see. But I like Chip Kelly. I like the way he put together his staff. And really, Steve, I am optimistic.
Merrill, the other part, though, is that is important in the Oregon scheme that he had was that it was predicated on not just speed of number of plays, but also speed at positions. With Jackson and Macklin and McCoy, it seems he has some of those basic parts in place.
He does. He does. But we don't know about the other part of that. The big part of that is the quarterback. I was not surprised that he kept Michael Vick, even though half the world had him leaving. I think what Chip is doing is keeping his options. I think he wants to see what Michael Vick has. I think he wants to see how Nick Foles will work out. That's why he brought in Dennis Dixon, to take a look. But I wouldn't surmise anything. I mean, I have people telling me, Nick Foles is as good as gone. And, I mean, you can look at that situation and say, well, Andy Reid loved Nick Foles, and so does Doug Peterson, his offensive coordinator in Kansas City. Maybe they offer the Eagles something like the first pick in the second round for Nick Foles, if they're really that much in love with him. I don't know. And I don't know what the Eagles would do if they got an offer like that. But my feeling is right now that Chip Kelly does like Nick Foles, even though he would have to use him much differently than he'd use Michael Vick, or Dennis Dixon, for that matter.
Well, it's not as if he's unfamiliar with him, because Nick Foles, being a Pac-12 quarterback, mm-hmm. would have been on the scouting report for Oregon to begin with. So he knows what his capabilities are, and I think that has to be given a chance.
I would think so, too. And Chip has said great things about Chip Kelly. He said that he is a tremendously talented quarterback and somebody he really appreciated when they had to prepare for him. And I like Nick Foles, too. I mean, you can't teach somebody to be 6'6", and he does have a big arm, and he's extremely, extremely bright, Steve. I've gotten to know him, and he absorbs plays very, very quickly, and I think he can adapt to almost any offense. Now, you don't want him sprinting. I mean, you don't want him turning out. I mean, somebody said a long time ago, and I believe this, that if, and very often coaches, as you know, are married to systems. And somebody once said if Joe Montana had somehow ended up in Miami and Dan Marino in San Francisco, both of them would have had very mediocre careers at best. And I believe that, because with Don Shula's drop-back offense, Marino was a Hall of Famer, and Montana was made for the moving pocket and what Bill Walsh used in that West Coast offense. So they were put into the right positions. They are with the right team. Is Chip Kelly going to put Nick Foles into an offense that is built around him and takes advantage of what he does best? We'll see.
And then there's Michael Vick. Is at this stage of his career, this extra year he gets with Philadelphia, can change be good for him just by having different voices in his head as compared to, with all due respect to Andy and everybody else who certainly did great things with him?
I think so. My biggest worry, Steve, and I've gotten to know Michael Vick very well over the past 3 years, and I truly like him. Here is a guy who was involved in something absolutely heinous, and this is coming from somebody who is a dog lover. And when he came here, I was very personally very unhappy. And then I saw a guy who did everything he could to change his life. And he is absolutely the best locker room influence you'd ever want to see. Everybody in that locker room loves him. He does so much in the community. He has totally repented and changed his life. He has done things for the Humanist Society. He goes out and he preaches to school kids about the horrors of animal cruelty. He doesn't try to hide from what he did. He is sincerely sorry. And he's a worker. I mean, he's not somebody who just shows up and lets his natural ability play out. However, the one fear I have about Michael Vick is his durability. Buddy Ryan once said to me, durability is as important as ability. And I think that's true. And Michael has had multiple concussions. And it's been my experience that once players start having concussions, they start having them more often and with less of a pounding. So I'm not a doctor. I don't know what's going to happen. That's my concern with Michael Vick more than his skill set or more than his willingness to work and to put himself into a position to succeed in what Chip Kelly wants him to do.
And I know, Merrill, in the doctors I've talked with, and you've talked with team physicians over time, they'll tell you you're 50% more susceptible to a concussion once you've had one.
Sure, right. Sure. That's why guys like Troy Aikman got out of football when he did. That's why Steve Young's career ended when it did, although he played late into his 30s, but he spent a lot of years where he really wasn't the starting quarterback. But in terms of actual playing time, it wasn't that many years that he was out there. And concussions finished his career.
You and I, of course, know there are trends that happen in football all the time. The NFL can be a copycat league. So many people have gone on about the read option. Is there only really a certain quarterback that can actually run that? And does that, quote, durability factor come in, as you just spoke of, Merrill?
Sure. Sure, and I heard somebody, it might have been Rich Gannon, I heard Rich Gannon do a talk show, and I heard Rich Gannon say there's no such thing as a good old running quarterback, and that's probably true, because if you are, look at RG3. I mean, he's amazing. I told people a year ago that if I had the first pick in the draft, he would be my pick over Andrew Luck, and because he did everything that Luck did and has even more athleticism, and they're both bright, and they're both leaders, and they both have outstanding arms, but RG3 can really move. I mean, move like a running back. Now that I say that, I disagree with what I said a year ago. I think Andrew Luck is the guy I'd rather have because we already saw what happened to RG3. He tore his ACL. He's coming back. He's now had multiple ACL tears. I would say that if he continues to play as he played last year, the prospects for him to have a long, productive career are very slim. I don't think you can play that way and hold up for a long time in this league.
The Eagles, of course, with Chip coming in, also means that they have one of the top five picks in the NFL draft, and then, of course, that dovetails to subsequent rounds. What are some of the needs that you see that they need to address in this draft to allow them to lay a foundation for what Chip Kelly wants to do down the road?
I believe this could be a playoff team again next year. And you're going to have a lot of people say, he's crazy. What's he talking about? He's talking about a 4-12 football team. Steve, this league has changed. It's a quick fix league. We saw Indianapolis go from 1-15 to the playoffs last year. This team is going to get instantly better by just the return of Jason Peters, Jason Kelce, and Todd Harriman. When you take those three offensive linemen out of the offense, that changes it dramatically, dramatically. And they have Evan Mathews, who's a pretty good player. They have to do something about right guard because Danny Watkins, to use a word, has been a bust so far. Now, does the new offensive line coach come in and put him back on the right track? Was he handicapped by what Howard Mudd wanted him to do? Maybe. We'll see. But as of now, I only see four offensive linemen. But that's not bad. There are teams that don't have four solid offensive linemen. They have a wide receiver core that is as good as anybody's. The running back department is strong. The tight ends, Brent Celek can still play and play at a high level, and I like Clay Harbor. So I think offensively they could be pretty good. The biggest area of concern on this team is the secondary. The defensive secondary is weak, porous, uncertain. I doubt that they will try to sign Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, who seemed to play when he wanted to play. Nnamdi Asamoah has done nothing to look like the player he was supposed to be. I mean, he... At one point, when the Eagles got him, I was on the golf course with my wife on a Friday night, and our son was home visiting, and all of a sudden, he texted my wife, and my wife said, Nolan just said that the Eagles signed Nnamdi Asamoah. I said, no. I said, he's going to Dallas or the Jets, because that was the word. And when she said, no, he's not kidding, I said, this team's going to the Super Bowl. They just added the missing piece. Well, that piece is still missing, because the Nnamdi Asamoah, who was supposed to be shoulder-to-shoulder with Revis, isn't. He has been a shadow of that player, and he's getting a big, big dollar amount. So what they're going to do there remains to be seen. But I wasn't surprised that they didn't franchise Roger Scrimmoni, and I would not be – I'd be surprised if they made him a real big offer to stay. They may make him an offer, but it's not something that they're going to break the bank with.
Well, in fact, you look at the first two teams that had the picks last year were Washington and Indianapolis. Now, albeit Washington at the sixth and traded up to two. And Minnesota, of course, all three made the playoffs. And that this league is now a quick turnaround league, because you're going to get a schedule that opens the door to allow you to be better. I mean, right off the bat, the schedule does that, and the return of certain players does that. And look, the Eagles were a banged-up football team a good chunk of last season. It played into it, didn't it, Merrill?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, the biggest portion, the biggest spot was the offensive line.
Right.
But they stayed healthy in other areas. Of course, they did lose DeSean Jackson, who's a great playmaker with almost half a season to go. So that hurt. But I'll tell you what, this team does have talent. It's not a talentless group. I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to see what other teams do. It's going to be interesting to see what Kansas City does. I mean, I've heard people say that there's not really a legitimate first-round quarterback in this draft. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know Geno Smith and Matt Barkley are the two that everybody talks about, but are they talking about them because there really aren't Andrew Lux and RG3s out there, or are they talking about them because they really believe they're good enough to be in the first round? I know this. In my estimation, neither one of them belongs in the top 10, but because of supply and demand, they may be there. They may end up there.
Right, exactly. Because of supply and demand, it may be their time to be to be picked that high. If they had been in last year's class, for example, they would not have been. I mean, the last year's class was that. And you know, it's a lot of ways it's a quarterback-based league. But when you look at some of the top quarterbacks in this league, which ones, when you prep a game, you say to yourself, dangerous, admire that guy, who falls into that category for you?
Well, I start with Peyton Manning. He's not bad.
I've heard of him.
I think he's the best I've ever seen. I really feel that way about him. I think he's absolutely amazing. As a little boy, I remember seeing television and films of Johnny Unitas. So those would be my two ever. Yeah. But I think Peyton Manning is still, the fact that he came back last year off of the neck injury and still played the way that he played, he's amazing. He is absolutely amazing. Certainly Tom Brady is still Tom Brady, although you really have to wonder when you look at what he's done in the playoffs over the last several years. Eli Manning is still a formidable quarterback. And, of course, there's the two – well, not two. There's four young ones right now. Not two, four. There's Russell Wilson, and there's Colin Kaepernick, who have come into the picture, along with RG3 and Andrew Luck. So there – and Drew Brees. I mean, he doesn't deserve a backseat to anybody either. So there are a bunch of – one time the NFL had a problem because there was a shortage of premier quarterbacks. But that has changed, and I think it's changed because a lot of colleges have gone to NFL pro-quarterback-type systems, pro-offenses. You have a coach in Bill O'Brien who worked with Tom Brady. So you know that Christian Hackenberg is going to be in great hands, and he will develop into, I'm sure, an NFL talent. So they're coming out. They're coming out there. But right now, those are the ones that I think are the best. I don't think I've missed anybody. But I am not a Tony Romo believer, and I don't think he'll ever take Dallas to any kind of promised land. I think Philip Rivers is inconsistent. He just doesn't do it week in and week out. He has his moments right. where he looks as good as anybody, but overall, I wouldn't say that. I think that Jay Cutler has the physical skills of some of the great ones, but not the intangibles that you look for in a great quarterback. And then, I don't know how I forgot to mention the guy who probably right now, is the best quarterback in football at his prime, at his absolute prime, and that's Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's absolutely brilliant. And Roethlisberger is a winner, too. He's tough. He's big. He's tough. He's an awfully, awfully good quarterback. But if I had, you know, I'm saying right now, and I love Peyton Manning, but as far as your prime, if I had to pick one quarterback right now, it would be Aaron Rodgers because he is still right at his peak.
Merrill, an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for giving us some of your valuable time today, and we look forward to talking to you again down the road.
Anytime, Steve. I always enjoy being on with you and keep up the great work on the Penn State games. And I'll be rooting for the Lions.
Merrill, thanks so much. Merrill Reese, the outstanding and, let's face it, legendary play-by-play voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, one of the truly special ones. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Thanks to an old friend, Merrill Reese, for being on the show today. In the profession that I'm proud to be in, whether you think I'm good or I think I'm lousy, whatever, I think we all agree he's one of the best. And he is simply outstanding. On Eagles games, love the voice, love the enthusiasm, the knowledge that comes through. So I think if you're an Eagles fan, I think you got a nice heavy dose today. Tony Knopp is on the show tomorrow. We're going to talk about Dr. Jerry Buss and his influence, also the Super Bowl next year. Tony his company controls about 10 million tickets. 10 mil. That's a lot. And also Aaron Carter tomorrow from the Center Daily Times. We want to talk some college basketball. So we have a lot going on. And Kevin is trying to arrange an interview with Danica Patrick, but for some reason cannot get them to pick up.
There hasn't been a restraining order issued yet, so that's good news.
But you have her shirt.
That's my point. I have the shirt. That should be enough. I mean, come on.
And you have her hat.
We're now, you know, together. We're in this together. It's a we thing now.
That's sad, man. It was great having Merrill on. It picked up the half hour, didn't it?